it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Hamp hits a drive into right center field. That goes Kane. That ball is going to be off the wall.
Live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR in HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, an Odyssey station.
The Score!
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
On Monday, we will recap the Cubs' first series and the White Sox' first series. I'm very much looking forward to doing that. It'll be a good time. And we'll have some clarity on your Chicago Bulls. We'll know who they're going to play in the playoffs by Monday, and then we can start trying to do the mental gymnastics of figuring out, can they win a game in a series against Boston or Philadelphia. Anyhoozle, I thought today's show, for considering we had to put together 90 more minutes of show, pretty good. And that's a big, big reason why Ray Diaz sits in the chair. And now he's going to be a luchador. He's very excited. Can we start calling you the luchador?
Oh, sure. I'm down for that.
I mean, I like that better than the Mexicutioner. I do like the idea of you being the Scorer's Rey Mysterio Jr. Or I guess we can make you Rey Mysterio III. We could do that. Parkins and Spiegel were pressed into service, and they are ready to roll. They join me now here on The Score. Hello, boys.
Lawrence Spiegs, yeah, we were pressed into service, but that's okay. It's okay. It's been a light lift, at least for me. Spiegs had to do play-by-play Monday and Tuesday, but basically no show Monday, basically no show Tuesday, basically no show yesterday. We can pop in today and do 4 hours. That's no big deal. What's up, Speaks?
Not only is it no big deal, I actually like doing radio shows with you. That's weird, man. I know. It's odd, and the whole vibe we try to give off is, oh, we don't like each other, and there's a rivalry. Oh, no.
Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, we don't like each other. On the Score.
Just cut
is
it up.
Is that the vibe we try to give off?
No, maybe not.
We don't like each other?
No, maybe we
can. We should rethink that.
That's a good call. Maybe the vibe is, we really like each other, but we give each other the business about the stuff as well.
He's giving the business down there.
Exactly right.
Yeah, friends ball bust, right? That's our love language. At least it's my love language. So that's what we do. But yeah, man, it's nice to hang out and watch golf and baseball and have three screens. But so now I just got two screens going for baseball and golf, and I'm gonna talk into a microphone for 4 hours. It's basically the same thing here.
We've got two screens. We're watching baseball and golf.
Yeah, we'll have a chance to do a little White Sox post game on our show today, which is the unexpected possibility.
Lucas looked really good.
Crazy good. Crazy absurd good. And we'll be able to do some Cubs, you know, based on yesterday. We only had like a 15-minute show, so we'll talk some Cubs stuff from yesterday, and hoping to talk to Cameron Maben later today from Marquee, which should be great.
Yeah, Cameron Maben scheduled to join us, and we also taped with Lucas Giolito yesterday. So we have a great conversation with Lucas Giolito that I think White Sox fans are going to love that we're going to air today at 5 o'clock.
Did you guys talk to him at all about PitchCom?
A little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. Little bit.
Speaks, what do you think about it? Because I spent some time talking about it. There was some good stuff on the Marquee broadcast yesterday where Boog and JD were talking about PitchCom.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about
it? I love it. Absolutely love it. I think not only is it excellent for sign stealing prevention until the Russians hack it, of course, which Tanny gave us an audio sneak preview of earlier in the week, but it's going to speed up pace. It already has, and it's only going to get faster and better for people that are using it as they get more comfortable with it. And what's interesting, I brought this up to Danny the other day. How about the strategic opportunities that it presents? Why does it have to be the catcher wearing the wrist guard? Why can't a manager or a pitching coach be in the dugout triggering pitches and the catcher just wear a receiver? These guys said, well, that'd be too close to the batter and the batter would hear him, but they have it very, very super duper
insulated,
quiet,
yeah,
where it's really only your ear. But doesn't that open the possibility of somebody else calling games or a pitcher who's a made guy calling his own game?
Yeah. I was explaining to some people inside of the Twitch chat. He's like, oh, well, this, it's going to be like Little League where dugouts are calling games. Like, dude, that is happening in the major leagues already.
Oh, yes.
That's
oh,
a
yes.
thing that happens.
Yeah. And not only that, you have certain catchers, like Mitch Garver is the new guy in Texas, and he was talking, you know, before their game the other day about learning an entire staff in 24 days.
It's not easy.
So why not the pitching coach who knows these guys so much better teach both of them as he calls the first starter to?
Or, like you said, like a made man starter calling his own game.
And I don't know if I like that, though. Right? Because, and don't you think
it's got to
be,
it's got to be like, it has to be Scherzer level type guy to do that.
But, but even then, even guys like that need and can benefit from having a relationship that results in the game that you call.
Right.
The catcher knows your stuff better. Catcher sees your stuff. Catcher has thoughts that maybe you've forgotten. You're focused on your mechanics, etc.
Or when you've lost bite on a pitch, that person can go, not this situation. Like, your fastball has lost a little ride, so let's not use it here in this particular situation. And if you have a great relationship with your pitcher, then they'll listen to you, and then they won't throw that pitch. And maybe if it's the pitcher, like, my fastball's great right now, I'm going to throw it through a wall, then it gets hit over a wall.
Yeah, you want checks and balances there, and it, you know, hopefully it speeds the game up, and hopefully it reduces sign stealing, and then all of these other components, they will figure out as they go. Does it have to be the catcher? Should more fielders have access to the calls? Should it come from the dugout? Can it come in other places? Is there a way to veto, you know, a pitch? Like, we're at the very, very beginning stages of this. You guys see the breaking news, though? Lucas Giolito, because what I was going to try to jump in with earlier was when you mentioned Giolito, I was surprised how early he was pulled. Like, I know they're being cautious with guys early because of the, you know, reduced spring training and all that, but it still struck me he was dominant. He had 6 strikeouts in 4 innings, 61 pitches, 36 of them for strikes, only one hit. I was like, why not 5 or 6 for Giolito? I figured he could go 85 pitches.
He had gone 91 on Sunday.
Right. He's hurt.
FFS.
Left
abdominal strain,
abdominal tightness. Yeah. And so we will see.
You know
what that is.
You know what that is? That is a terrible diagnosis, not necessarily in terms of like something big is the problem, but just in terms of the potential effect of all the good mass that he added, the weight that he added, the strengthening and stuff, because that's the kind of thing that, you know, we were talking about Nico Horner the other day. Like, sometimes when guys add a lot of weight, their soft tissue stuff becomes an issue. Strains and things and stretches, because it's a little more muscle than you're used to having to work with.
I will say that while I was watching the game Sunday, I was like, does he really need to go 90 pitches today? I was thinking about that. Like, cause I'm like, there were ample opportunities, like inside the inning that he was in. Like, he was in a little bit of trouble in the inning, and I'm like, does it make sense for him to work through it, or maybe they should just call it a day? And who knows why this happened, and maybe it's something that happened inside of the outing today against the Tigers, but
I assume that is what happened. I mean, he just because he was so, I mean, he looked amazing.
Yep.
Like, he looked like he was ready to start a playoff game.
Top and bottom of the zone, getting people out, swing and miss stuff.
Dude, yeah. And the slider and the curve were plus pitches. Like, if he's that guy with 4 pitches like that that he can work in, that is ace caliber stuff. That is top contract extension, $35 million a year stuff, so you better get it done soon kind of thing.
So that's for sure miss a start thing, right? For sure miss at least one start.
I always hate to guess.
Yeah, I would guess, right? Like if you set the over under at missed starts at 0.5, I'd probably take the over, but it didn't make any sense because he went deep in spring. He was stretched out. And I saw people on Twitter like, oh, they're being cautious because there's already the Lance Lynn injury. Like,
no,
you need innings. Like that's kind of it's kind of the opposite.
You know, it is because and for everybody, the ones who can throw.
Yeah.
And the ones who can throw in this month of April for everybody really need to make up for how thin everything is.
Make up for the fact that Lynn isn't there. Make up for the fact that Kopech started late.
I thought Hendricks was going to go deeper yesterday. And I thought he could have. And I thought that they would because they got three more games right away here and you got to double up with some of the other guys.
Maybe they had listened to the weather fairy.
Right, exactly. because on the schedule, I think they only had one day off in their first 17 days. But my guess is they knew today was very unlikely.
They had a good thought.
He was so good yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
Tunneling the fastball, working the change off of it. I really appreciate, look, you see a guy like Lucas, and Lucas has got all of that stuff plus the velo to add to it.
Mm-hmm.
Watching Kyle just be out there like, look, man, I'm mess with you. And when he's on his game, the way that he messes, like the types of swing and miss stuff that he had yesterday was a joy
could not
to
agree
watch.
More. And he's just a marvel because of the repeatable mechanics. It's why I think of him when I play bags. It's why Danny should think of him when he golfs. You know, just presence and calm and low heartbeat and just repeat the mechanics perfectly. Did you guys see this other bit of breaking news?
Another White Sox you
heard. No, this is not sports.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw it. Go ahead, speak.
I love it. Good. Will Smith will not be allowed to attend the Academy Awards for the next 10 years, according to the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. That's harsh, man. That is the pinnacle of your profession, and you just won. So now your next decade should be emeritus, one of the great actors of your generation, and you can't even go.
Well, you would be. He would be presenting usually like
best actress,
right?
Yep.
That he would be presenting that.
Why Anthony Hopkins presented Best Actress this year, yeah.
And that was a funny exchange as Will has his Oscar and then he's like, oh, hey, Sir Anthony. I'm Sir Anthony. Like, hey, don't slap me, man. Like, I didn't do nothing.
That is harsh, man. I said I love it, but now it feels harsh. Now I feel bad a little.
Yeah, I mean, so it was such an egregious thing that he got to stay and sit in the front row and attend all of the parties, but then it aged poorly enough that he can't go for the next 10 years. And as I'm reading the Deadline piece, he can still be nominated and he can still win. He just can't attend the Academy Awards because he's...
That fits.
That goes with Roman Polanski.
Exactly. You're right. Yeah, you can be nominated, just you can't show up. We can't trust you in public for different reasons, obviously. But Will, we can't trust you to have the basic level of human decorum.
Yeah, I mean, they felt the need to do something. They were embarrassed. He was completely out of line. It feels ceremonial.
It does feel like it may, maybe it's like
it's probably you all can't, they could do
you,
though.
You
right?
can't come next year. Like, you know, maybe it's
or 5 years, 10's a lot.
I think next year, just because you're supposed to be in the space of giving out the best actress,
you're like supposed to present.
You can't come next year.
Yeah,
Will.
Right. So we'll make him feel that.
Yeah,
and he would really feel that too. He would really feel that. The other 9 years, just keep feeling it.
Imagine that. What'll happen is we'll get 2 or 3 years down the road. There'll be some sort of appeal process, and then he'll be back in the Academy. But I mean, if you are going to get banned from the Academy, it's probably better to do it after you get your Oscar than before.
Yeah, right. Like that. So Will Smith can't go to the boring award show for 10 years. Like
he gets to walk out like George Jefferson. Like he gets to walk out with the Oscar like George Jefferson. Like,
and
I don't know.
That reminds me. Sherman Helms.
It would have been ridiculous to take his Oscar. So there's just not much that they can do, you know?
This is harsh. This is very harsh.
I guess.
Not as harsh as Lucas Giolito being injured.
Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. I was confused, guys. Lucas Giolito can't attend the Oscars for the next 10 years.
Well, Will Smith has abdominal tightness.
That's it. My mistake.
His uncle's right. Isn't he a part of the Academy? Lucas's uncle?
Lindsay's brother, you mean? Well, his dad is Rick is the actor. Lindsay was the actor. Lindsay, by the way, was in a movie with our guy Bill Fichtner. Or was it
Love Interest?
Always comes back.
Not a movie. It was As the World Turns, something like that.
Yeah, one of the soap operas.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's only one radio show in America that is supposed to get those two back together, and it's Parkinson's Speed.
Yeah, that's right.
Sounds like a plan to me.
It's one of our many missions as a show.
It's just, like, we just can't, like, we can't have nice things.
Oh,
like,
man. He looked so good.
Like, come on, man. Like,
I will say, Lawrence, if you want something positive for the Sox, yo, this lineup
is crazy.
Ridiculous.
Even without Moncada and TA.
Without TA. Like, it's just, there's no break.
The thing that I was smiling about today while watching the game, while doing the show, was Luis Robert. That young man can go get him. There was a ball that was destined to hit off the wall in that cavern in right center field at Comerica, and he made that play look so easy. And I think Pollock was like, what are you doing here? Like, how did you get over here?
Uh-huh.
And Robert's like, because I'm this dude.
Yeah, welcome to life as a White Sox player and being in awe of your own teammate. That's the effect that Robert has.
Like, you could see Pollock just going, where'd you come from? Like, who are you? Are you Batman? What the hell is going on here? But he did that, and then he got a shallow one, too. I mean, he's so good, and it's just a gliding.
Oh, the shallow
that he
one.
Does.
The shallow one he made look absurdly easy. It was like, oh yeah, okay, that's what really fast guys do.
And what's crazy is that the next half inning, one of the White Sox hit one into that part of the ballpark, and there was not a Tiger anywhere near it. And it's just like, wow, how incredible is this dude? I think that he has potential to be an MVP soon. And watching the way that he plays defense, it's mwah, chef's kiss.
Hey, Danny, I haven't been watching. What color is Tiger wearing today? The pink was gorgeous.
Is that teal? What color is that?
Oh, there
it is. It's like Mariner colors.
Yeah, yeah. It's he took off the
Jay Buhner Tiger Woods.
Yeah, he had like a navy blue that matched his pants on top of the teal, but it's been.
Been bumpy
it's
today.
Been horrible.
Oh no!
Four bogeys on the first five holes.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, it's been.
Guess who called that today?
It's been rough.
Bernstein.
Did he really?
He was like, if you were betting, if you could fade Tiger Woods, today would be the day to fade him.
Because 2 days in a row, having to walk and live it and start to feel it for the first time.
Yep.
Also, the forecast. Everyone like when the tee times came out. All the gamblers were saying that if you were early Thursday, late Friday, that was the worst draw because the wind was expected to pick up for Friday afternoon, which is exactly what's happening. So there's a lot of above par numbers on the board right now, and the cut is continuing to go up. So Tiger at +3 right now.
He'll make the cut, right?
Hopefully, you know, if the numbers keep going, like he's got a. I mean, not at this pace. At this pace, he's like pacing for like an 85 today. But, you know, I think the cut's projected right now like +4, +5, and he's sitting +3. But he's got a lot of par fives to go. So he's got to settle in. He's incredibly mentally tough. I'm sure he'll string some pars together. But, yeah, he's had a very, very, very shaky start to his round. And yesterday he scrambled so well. Like, he was just up and down. Like, his pitch game and chip game was incredible, and then he was knocking in those like 5 to 8 foot putts. Today, not so much. So rough start today, but leaders are only down to 3 under right now. Very, very, very tough course conditions and 20 mile an hour winds at Augusta. It's basically impossible to stick a green.
Yeah, so. I saw one of the leaders is that guy, Charles Schwartzel.
Schwartzel.
Schwartzel, yeah, Charles. Still my only Charles. Right? And anybody else have another
Charo? You don't need a Charo ranking.
Or what about Leclerc?
What about
Formula One? Ferrari team?
Charl? C-H-A-R-L?
It ends with an S, but it's pronounced Charo.
No. I'm sorry.
What Charo? About the Charo? Can we keep Charo?
She's my only Charo. She's my only Charo. And this guy remains my only Charo.
Coochie.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, Shane, and pronunciation-wise, yeah, but straight up just stopping the name of the L is ridiculous. I'm sorry.
If that's where you draw the line.
I do. I can't root for that guy. I can't root for him. His name's unfinished. Come on.
Yeah.
Am I the only one upset about this?
I think so.
I'm watching what's going on outside the studio.
Oh, okay.
Lisa Fielding and Mai Martinez are like taking selfies. And hang on.
Okay. Well, this is good. This second straight transition where something strange has gone on.
Okay. So I'm like, all right, I figured out what's happening. Okay. So the on-air sign, Mai, now that she's now a part of the family here at Odyssey,
yes,
was taking a picture near the on-air sign.
I see.
But like
for the gram. She's
doing it for the gram.
She's doing it for the gram.
But she's little, like I am. So she had to jump up on a chair. And so she's on one of our chairs taking the pictures. And Lisa was doing like the art direction of the picture that was going on. So when you see Mai put this picture up on Twitter or on Instagram later, know that she's not 7 feet tall.
Mm.
And see, now we're getting the selfie. Speaks, look.
Oh, yeah, we're in the selfie. That's amazing.
Now we get to be in the
you
selfie.
You guys keep talking. I'm just going to watch Kendall Graveman get attacked for whatever this is and watch some golf.
Don't hurt yourself for the gram. I the Instagram, man.
There's a lot of gram injuries.
There are. When I was in Ireland, like, we were at this like crazy ass place called Giant's Causeway where these enormous stones are popping up out of the ground. And,
is it Mick or?
Which one?
Mick? Jack? Never mind.
Damn it.
The stones.
Oh, the stones. Yeah, good call.
Enormous stones.
Yeah. See?
I guess, got the music reference.
You did. Danny, boom. You win. Boom.
We're talking stones. We done.
But there was this Jamaican family that was there. And two of the kids were like running out there with their camera phones, like just going out there. And the dad is like, don't kill yourself for the gram. Don't do it. Don't die for the gram. And I was freaking howling, man.
It's the truth.
Yes, people do it all the time.
But I think Mai's okay. Like, she's got good balance. Like, she got the shot. I just got the thumbs up. She also has an excellent, on the back of her phone, is the Chicago flag.
Uh-huh.
Like, she's, you know what? She's been here like 3 days, and she's already, like, doing it big.
Yeah.
And see,
let's workshop that Irish brogue real quick.
No, that was Jamaican.
There was a lot that was going on there.
Let's workshop that Jamaican accent.
I need to workshop all of it. And I thought about whether to go for it or not. And Shane, as always, you're my accent guy. You're the one I go to.
Slap it to bass. Slap it to bass, man.
Shane.
Oh, no. That guy's Jamaican was better than mine?
Yes. Shane, how close was that to being a Jamaican accent?
That's pretty good.
Speaks?
Yeah.
Oh, it was very far off.
Okay, so what accent was it?
Don't kill yourself for the gram.
He sounded like he was an Indian man.
He sounded like he was doing a really bad...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it kind of sounded like you were on The Simpsons, perhaps, and maybe a friend...
I was Apu?
And maybe a friend of the show that can't do the Apu voice anymore, you were doing it for him. That's kind of what it sounded like to me.
Style. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Horrible Jamaican impression.
I just figured you were ordering in a restaurant and insulting someone. Yeah.
This is why I shouldn't order in
this is why you should not change your voice when you order in.
Wait, that's a thing that you do?
Well, you know. Yeah. I mean, we
yes,
all should.
It is, Lawrence.
We all should. We try to make the wait staff comfortable in a restaurant.
They are comfortable.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're already comfortable.
Okay, that's fair.
They're working.
Yeah, I don't feel
so. Speaks goes. He goes. Yeah. I'd like carne asada, and it's like, dude, you don't need to do that. Chile rellenos, por favor. Just say please.
That's not true. That is not.
That is what you do.
All right. Actually, it is.
I think it's a good idea to try and meet people halfway.
That's what I'm trying to do.
If you're in another country.
Oh, yeah. Change up.
Or if you speak Spanish.
Cambio.
Cambio.
So you're saying when I'm at Italian Village downtown, saying, yeah. I like the chicken parmesan. Yeah, like, that's not cool? That's,
All right. Don't go boopa de boppy. Like, don't do that. That's... That would be bad.
Oh, man.
He can't help himself.
I can't.
It's okay, I suppose. But yeah, Lucas Giolito at 5 o'clock, but our conversation from yesterday, where we do spend a lot of time talking about the added mass and weight.
Oh,
and
yeah.
How physically fitting.
Can we edit in some stuff about the abdominal muscles?
Yeah,
can
I'm
we
not do that? Sure. I'm not sure how that's going to work. And then Cameron Maybin, lots of baseball, other nonsense. And yes, there are only bad options for the Bulls. I heard you talking about that earlier, Lawrence. So
it is the case.
Right? Avoid Giannis probably, and then just roll the dice and hope to get a couple of wins, right?
I bet
you guys are happy that I put 200 now and you guys only put 100 on them to win the East now.
We still would have liked it to be a little bit more of a team effort, but yes.
It was a team effort.
It was, okay. But then you kind of big-timed us a little bit.
My apologies.
Like, here we are doing some bonding as two shows, and then, you know, I get a text message. Hey, guess who's in for 200?
I mean,
what the hell, man?
I gamble a lot. I could have put it in on the side and never said anything. I was trying to be honest. I messed up. I almost swore there too, Lawrence. I almost said I effed up. Can't say that on the radio.
Well, I mean, you can, but
don't be so comfortable. But yeah, that's what you get when you broadcast from home in sweatpants.
It's a good idea. I'm broadcasting from here in sweatpants, and it feels great.
Nice.
Feels great. You guys have a wonderful show. I'm going to go and cry about the White Sox.
161 more, man. All right. You do that. Have a good weekend, Lawrence.
Thank you, boys.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.